I believe that David Ferris is on holiday, so he obviously won't be on the call. Marilyn has excused herself, so there will be nobody from business.
Hello, Tommy.
Hello, Thomas. Tony Harris and Maggie have excused themselves, so that's ISP. Mark Schneiders has excused himself, non-commercial. And Nicholas Lagergren and Jeremy Banks from the IP constituency have excused themselves.
I'm sorry, are you just telling us that all the constituencies who said this topic should be a priority have recused themselves from this call?
Well, I'm just telling you the people that have apologized for their absence.
So it's IP, ISP, and business who are completely absent?
No, not completely absent. Only okay. Nicholas Lagergren and Jeremy Banks. Steve Metallitz has, in fact, sent a contribution to the call, which is on the mailing list.
So who else is on the call?
We've got David Maher, Jeff Newman, Barbara, Jordan Buchanan, and have I missed someone?
No, I think that's all.
So the one who was
great. Well, wait a few minutes.
Hello, it's Tom Keller, just joined.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, Jeff. There's a horrible echo on the line.
I agree.
Hi, Steve Metallitz here.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, I heard the echo since I got on. I don't know if it's you or Barbara or...
Okay, what I'll do is I'll try and change phone, shall I?
Sure.
Actually, Glenn, it's most likely me just because I'm... you know, off of satellite here, so why don't I try calling it again?
Otherwise, perhaps mute yourself, Barbara.
Well, let me try that first.
Okay.
Oftentimes that doesn't improve it too much.
There's still an echo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call back in.
Okay, I'll try from another line, all right?
Okay. We'll just wait a minute or two.
It seems like if Barbara just logged off, it wasn't her.
Hello?
Welcome to the conference call.
Barbara, you back
on?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's fixed right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot less echo.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because Glenn dropped off.
Yeah, I think, Barbara, when you first left, it was still the same, so maybe Glenn as opposed to you.
No, I'm still on.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm trying from another
phone. She maybe muted herself, but...
No, I didn't do anything.
Hey, okay, so we have... I have Barbara, myself, Jordan, Thomas, Rustler, David Maher, Tom Keller, and David Allen. Just joined?
Wow.
The other problem was...
All right, you're now blaming that one on me.
No.
Everybody, if you're on a speakerphone, make sure that you either pick up the handset or put yourself on mute until you're ready to speak.
Okay, so we have no one here from the BC, the ISPs, or the non-commercials. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Well, that's good. We can make some important decisions today, then, I think.
Let's make all the decisions.
Straight on ahead. And
we're just kidding for those of you who listen to an MP3 recording of this. These are just informational calls. Okay, so I'm not sure anyone else is going to join. So I think let's get started. The topic for today is conspicuous notice, and it stems out of and thanks for Steve for sending out the references. It stems out of a Task Force 2 requirement, and it comes also from some surveys that were conducted. And Jordan or Steve, do you want to just go into a little bit of the background on what we'll do is go a little bit into the background on Task Force 2's requirement, and then start breaking down the issue a little bit.
Sure, this is Steve. I'll be glad to start that, although I see we have an echo again, don't we? I think Task Force...
You are now muted.
...two things to try to gather data on the question of... let me back up a second. The Registrar Accreditation Agreement says that the registrar is supposed to tell the registrant what uses will be made or who will have access to who is data and is supposed to obtain the registrant's consent to this. I'm paraphrasing, but this is the gist of the agreement. And so one question that we looked at in Task Force 2 was, what are registrars actually doing to fulfill this? We went about it two ways. First, we asked registrars about this in a questionnaire. We got very few responses. I think there were a couple of them. And then the staff also did a survey just looking at the websites of a number of registrars, obviously not all of them. The conclusion, and then this data was given to, we set up subgroups within Task Force 2 to look at the data on a number of topics, and one of them was on this topic. And what I sent you was the final report, and I apologize if there was something later than this, but I think that was the final report of that And basically it found that what most registrars are doing, evidently, is including this disclosure and the statement of consent, if any, in a very large user agreement, a lot of provisions in it, that you click to accept all of those provisions. Now, the staff survey found that two of the registrars that they looked at seemed to be obtaining some more specific consent or consent more specifically targeted to this issue of who is data. But when we went to look at these, I think one was Domain Direct and the other was Bulk Register, we actually weren't able to find that they were doing this. It seemed, if you look at, on the Bulk Register page, it seems as though you're just asked to consent to the whole user agreement, which includes this stuff about who is data, and you're not asked to look specifically at... or to consent specifically to this question. And in terms of the questionnaire, we found that at least some registrars, particularly in Europe, were saying, or a couple of them said, no, we don't obtain the consent of registrants because we don't have to under our local law. So I guess one concern is that if that's the case, then some registrars aren't obtaining the consent that the registrar accreditation agreement requires them to obtain. But the second and perhaps more significant concern is, should something be done to bring this issue more to the attention of registrants so they know what the deal is at the time that they register? And is it sufficient, or should it be sufficient to simply have this as one of many, many terms and conditions in a very long user agreement and have one click that says, I agree? So I think the question is fairly, at that level at least, it's fairly straightforward, and I suppose you could phrase it as, should ICANN require or encourage, or there could be other verbs used there, registrars to obtain a separate, specific consent from registrants on this issue of use of who is data. I would think that would be that might be a good idea, but I think that would at least help to reduce the level of confusion that some registrants may feel when they learn that their Who Is data is publicly accessible.
Okay. So, and I'm sorry.
No, that I think that concludes.
So just to summarize, when you say separate consent, it could be, like you said, a kind of a click-through button or a check mark or something like that.
Right. Yeah, this is something that is focused just on agreeing to that rather than agreeing to, you know, everything else within the agreement about how much you're going to pay and, you know, who's liable and so forth.
Right, this is Jordan, and I'll just add that the task force in our initial report actually put together three specific recommendations on this topic. And I think they were generally, I think I'm not going out on a limb to say that these were, that we probably achieved a consensus on these particular issues. I don't think there was anyone that was particularly unhappy with them. And just to review briefly, the recommendations were that ICANN should, incorporate compliance with the notification and consent requirement of the RRA as part of an overall plan to improve registrar compliance with the RRA. B, issue an advisory reminding registrars of the importance of the compliance with the contractual requirement, even registrars operating primarily in countries where the local law apparently does not require this. Then those are fairly tightly related. And C, encourage development of best practices that will improve the effectiveness of giving notice to and obtaining consent from domain name registrants with regard to the uses of contact data, such as by requesting that the GNSO commence a policy development process or the procedure with the goal of developing such best practice. Sorry. I think that third area is probably A and B are pretty clear and probably don't require a whole lot of recalibration by this group, but I would say that we could perhaps spend some time on C and maybe develop some best practices or at least develop a path forward for an implementation team to do so or figure out really how to accomplish C might be the best way to focus our work.
Yeah, I this is Steve. I agree with that. I thank you for summarizing those recommendations. And, you know, so one way to do it is to say we think the best practice would be for a separate consent to be obtained specifically directed to this Who Is data issue. Now, that may be too simplistic, or it may be there are better ways to do this, but that would be one thing we could come out
with. Yeah, I think that's correct. I think we could range anywhere from, we could, you know, clarify, we could add some language about, you know, conspicuous notice or whatever to get back to the term that Jeff used. We could say, we could be much more detailed and say something like there should be a checkbox that starts unchecked and ends checked that has some words, these words next to it. That obviously only works for web-based registration, so some accommodation would have to be made for other mechanisms. So it could get very detailed. Or the other approach that I've heard suggested is maybe something that is results-oriented as opposed to necessarily being highly specific about the actual mechanism, but then do follow-ups to make sure registrants actually understand what they've consented to and think that they've done so. But so I think there's a variety of ways to approach it, and probably we could start off, you know, just by discussing various mechanisms that might be useful, and seeing if some of those sort of have appeal to the group and what further refinements may be necessary.
Any other thoughts, Thomas? Both Tom Keller and Thomas, any thoughts on that?
Well, I would even move along with with the suggestion you've just made that we define a little bit better and maybe, you know, come up with something every registrar should really abide to and kind of put it into form which makes it obvious for the customer, you know, that it is the same thing he already has signed to in other agreements, you know. The only thing I would be very interested in is that if he set it up as a checkbox, for example, what happens if the customer is not checking that box? And are we talking only about one notice where we tell them about all the who is things, cannot differentiate we in any way, like between bulk who is and regular who is, and does he have any options, you know, how much data he wants to pass on and stuff like that, you know. So if you make it conspicuous, we should be really conspicuous on that part at least.
Right, and it could be as this is our who is policy, kind of like some people do with privacy policies. This is our privacy policy.
Yeah, and that might be a problem. For example, in Germany, if you ask, you know, it cannot be a yes or no. You know, it couldn't be like, you need to check if you want to buy the product. You know, that goes in for most of the cases, but not in regard to privacy matters, unfortunately.
So you can't just, you can in the EU.
If you ask, you know, you have to give an option. Do you want or do you not want, you know, and you cannot just say you have to if you want to have the service.
So then it wouldn't work to have a checkbox. The only thing you could say is check that you've read it. But that's not the same thing as asking whether you want your data or not. So can you require someone to check a box to force them to read it?
Yeah,
and they can't buy the product unless they've checked that they've read it.
That would be okay, I would say. You know, I'm just saying that you have to be careful on how you phrase that.
Tom, do you know how European registrars are dealing with this issue?
Well, right. I would say, and that's my impression, that most of them don't deal with it at all because they're trying to abide to the ICANN regulations, so they refrain from it. I know that Deutsche Telekom tried to do something on that regard, but they drawn back after Dan Halloran gave them a call and told them that it's not in compliance with the ICANN policy we have in place right now.
Interesting. Okay. Anyone else have initial thoughts on this?
I think that's a bigger issue. The whole privacy issue is a bigger one than I think we can deal with at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we take the checkbox or some kind of if we take it from the side of, you know,
Paul,
your
chair has joined. Sorry, I'm late.
Hey, Paul. If you take the checkbox to the or some kind of sort of conspicuous notice, it's just all you're doing is checking off that you've read it,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily that you agree to it.
No, I think that would be okay. The only thing I really want to kind of push on it or push at is that it looks uniform in some certain kind of way, you know, that not one registrar is hiding it there and another registrar is hiding it there, you know, but it's always real clear to the customer that he has to kind of check it, yes, I read it, you know, same with terms and conditions.
And then whether it, you know, whether it's this, you know, I guess, so what you're saying is it should be uniform as to it has to be a checkbox with all registrars, or could it, you know, because there's different ways, obviously, that it could be done. I mean, it just has to be some affirmative step taken by the registrar to indicate that it's read it, whether it's a checkbox, but it's clicking on a...
Correct,
bike,
and it must be singled
know.
Out in some way.
Well, this is Steve. There's a little bit of a disconnect here because the agreement, registrar accreditation agreement says the registered name holder shall consent to the data processing referred to in 3774. So, I mean, to some extent, this spills over to the topic I guess we're going to talk about next time, which is when there appear to be conflicts between national law and the registrar accreditation agreement. So, I mean, consent for the purpose of, I guess one question is consent for the purpose of the registrar accreditation agreement necessarily the same as consent according to the national law?
Well, I think at this point we're kind of breaking it out. We're breaking out notice versus consent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just look at the notice aspect, and deal with consent either later in this call or next week, because that's really where you get into the conflict.
I agree. That's certainly the point that Tom was raising.
And so I had sent around earlier on the list just for informational purposes. No, you know, you can do with it what you want, but kind of a definition that is used in the United States for a bunch of types of contracts actually doesn't apply to services, so it really wouldn't apply to signing like a purchase of a domain name, because I don't believe that's not a consumer good. But essentially, it was kind of when people, and I thought back to my law school days, you know, when people talk about conspicuous notice, this is most of the cases in the U.S. come out in this type of law with the Uniform Commercial Code. And so I provided what they say conspicuous notice is directly in the code itself. And the code has been adopted by all but one state in the United States. So it's generally, you know, the purpose of the code was to have consistent law throughout the state that businesses could have some predictability if they were doing businesses in a bunch of different states. And so their definition was all in terms of, you know, in print, you know, some font that stands out, or, you know, enlarged, either an enlarged font or bold or italicized, something that made it look different from all the text that was around it. And so, you know, you could talk about two different notices. There could be in the registrant agreement, you could have the who is policy in there, and it's just in a different font, or you can have a separate who is policy that's presented separate and apart from the registrant agreement. Kind of like a privacy policy is usually presented. So, I mean, is there any kind of thoughts on that, or...
This is Barbara. I would like to just raise a couple of issues for consideration. The first is I don't think we can, if the intent is to be very prescriptivist, right, you know, to actually define what needs to be there, then I think you're going to run into problems with people who don't do web-based registrations and who, how, you know, how are you going to prescriptively define what they need to do in order to provide conspicuous notice. And the second is that I think you need to think about the compliance aspect of this. How do you anticipate that ICANN would enforce compliance on these issues? And the more prescriptive this gets as a recommendation or as a policy, the harder both of those issues become to manage. And so I think you need to be very cognizant of how, what the implications are of creating a very defined set of what this thing needs to look like or how it needs to operate.
But I'm a little confused by that second point, actually, because it seems that if the criteria and the policy are relatively well-defined, like there needs to be a checkbox with the following words next to it, or the following words need to appear on the page with some mechanism to agree, or something like that, that seems easier for the staff to figure out whether or not that exists versus, you know, there needs to be some sort of conspicuous notice where there's some sort of judgment call made by the staff as to, you know, whether or not a registrar is complying with that. Am I mistaken?
No, I think you're right in the sense that it makes it easy to judge whether the registrar is in fact providing what's called for, but it raises issues of how much work ICANN has to do to you know, to establish that. It's like, are we going to check every reseller? Are we going to check, you know, what's the anticipated compliance regime for, you know, for making these kinds of things? Like if you know, if you say it, you know, has to be a certain size font or whatever. I'm just, you know, saying that if you get that prescriptivist, then what do you expect ICANN to do to you know, go out with a ruler and measure fonts on web pages, you know, and for the question of how to deal with non-web-based registrations, I think this becomes an even more difficult issue because I think that, you know, is there an equivalent that could be had for instance, somebody who takes registrations over the phone?
Right. Now, I do think it's important to recognize that there are other mechanisms that registrars use to sell or register domain names. But I guess just to follow up on the point one more time, if this group adopts a policy that's sort of vague, I guess, that's not necessarily highly prescriptivist, but has, you know, a general requirement that some sort of notice be given, to the extent that ICANN's enforcing the policies of the, you know, promulgated by the consensus building policy, wouldn't there still be some level, they would have to figure out whether or not registrars are complying with that as well?
Yes, but I think that past history has shown that having a degree of, what's the word I'm looking for, flexibility in making that determination actually aids in evaluating people's success, that, you know, filling the terms. Yes, you can go for a very prescriptive thing, and then it's very easy to determine, you know, either the people are doing it or they aren't doing it. And in some senses, that makes life easier for everybody. But on the other hand, it does make it harder for ICANN to just accept that people are doing something. They have to go and check that something is being done.
Paul, I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, Paul, anyone else want to speak on this topic? Okay, Paul, go ahead.
Registrars are already required to, you know, to display the registrant agreement. You're talking about another requirement to display A, something else, or B, have a checkbox? Do I get that straight first off?
Yeah, Paul, it's the notion that we're talking about now is either to somehow separate the who is policy and to have a checkbox, not necessarily that says I agree to the policy, but that I've read the policy. So either to, you know, specifically for that who is policy.
Can we display that policy in the who is output? Because, you know, everybody who's got a name looks at their name in the who is output. I think it's going to be really problematic, unless it's part of the registration agreement, just from a practical side, to, you know, for example, we have large, huge companies as resellers. We're going to have to get them to put a checkbox on their website. It's going to be very difficult. If we already have contracts with them that says you got to display this registration agreement. If we could just change the registration agreement or change something else that we have control over, such as the who is output, I think, practically speaking, we will get the policy out there to more registrants.
But I think Paul and Steve and others from Task Force 2 jump in. I think that the requirement, the recommendation from Task Force 2 was basically, I guess, the finding that notice in most agreements at this point was not adequate, and that their requirement was that some sort of conspicuous notice be provided to registrants on the who is policy above and beyond what's currently happening. So to just change the wording in the agreement may not be enough. Steve and Jordan and others from Task Force 2, do you want to jump in?
Sure. This is Steve. I don't think we used the word conspicuous in Task Force 2, but we did say it should be, we talked about the possibility of best practices to improve the effectiveness of giving notice to the registrant. And I think, it sounds to me, Paul, if you're giving all your resellers a standard agreement that they have to use, then going forward, why wouldn't it be possible to modify that to include a separate checkbox, again, for web-based registration, to include a separate checkbox that says, I've read what you said about who is, and I agree, or words to that effect?
A checkbox is a lot different than a bunch of text.
Yeah, I understand that.
They're already checking a box that says I agree to all this text. So you're saying another checkbox?
Yes.
For different text?
Yes.
That takes programming stuff on the reseller side. If we just change the text, it's easier.
Yes, but I don't think it would achieve the objective. The problem is everybody's doing what you're doing now, which is I agree to 10 pages of stuff, and the question is that sufficient to put people on notice? I agree that it would have to be on a going-forward basis, not, you know, with registrations that have already occurred. But
I think
the question is if it changes, you know, what if ICANN said you had to change, you know, to put some other provision in there? You'd have to change the agreement.
I agree we'd have to change the agreement if ICANN said so.
Yeah.
It just doesn't multiple checkbox. You agree to this part, you agree to that part, and you agree to the other part. Why don't you uncheckbox that you agree to the whole thing?
Well, Paul, let me ask you a question. So what
would be conspicuous? I'd put it in the who is output. That's what everybody sees.
Well, people don't have to look at who is output in order to register a domain.
I agree with that.
Well, let me actually propose, I think we've got a... I mean, I think this is a productive conversation, but maybe something we could do is just suggest a few, have a little bit of a, I mean, so far we've talked about a checkbox. Paul's talked about maybe adding something to who is output. Do people have other ideas as to just general approaches to the best practices that we might just want to consider? And maybe there are alternatives to either the checkbox or who is that sort of get us closer to the objectives without being overly burdensome to registrars.
Yeah, I mean, this is Steve. Can I get in the queue?
Yep.
I was going to come back to the discussion you, Jordan, and Barbara were having. It seems to me, I think Jordan's right that the more specific it is, the easier it is to tell whether you're in compliance or not. Barbara was raising, I think, a slightly separate issue, which is, do we have to go out, does ICANN staff have to go out and find these things in order to then see if they're in compliance? So one possibility would be to say, assuming, you know, if a new policy went into effect, to say that the registrars need to notify ICANN of what they're doing to comply with it. So, for example, they could provide a link to a web-based form in which they, you know, have a checkbox or whatever it is that they have to do. Or they could provide the script for telephone-based registration or, you know, whatever the other flavors are. In other words, it would come, ICANN wouldn't have to go out and look for it. It would come to ICANN, and ICANN could see, well, does this comply or not comply? So it's a suggestion for dealing with Barbara's concern about how do we find out about this, and at the same time, I think...
It's just more cost for registrants, A, or for registrars. A, do this whole thing, and B, write on yourself.
He sent an email to Dan Holler. I mean, it's not a lot of stuff.
I think it's a different question.
Yeah, I mean, that is obviously a slightly different issue that how the notice is actually provided, and we can maybe separate the enforcement side into a separate conversation from the actual mechanism side.
Well, I thought that
I didn't want to derail the conversation. I was trying to raise additional issues that need to be addressed.
Understood. So let me just return to my question. Does anyone else, other than some sort of checkbox or putting information in the who is, does anyone else have any other approaches they think might be a useful way of improving the effectiveness of getting notice and consent from registrants on this topic?
Well, the more difficult way, but it is an approach, is to require in the registrant agreement, you know, bold face type or all caps for the who is policy or something like that. That's the traditional definition of conspicuous notice, a larger font or all caps or all bold or italicized or something to that effect.
Right. So I guess another alternative is modifying the registrant agreement to provide conspicuous notice of this.
Right.
Okay.
I'll take that idea.
Sure, I'll throw one out, which is maybe, as opposed to necessarily a checkbox in particular, maybe a link specifically from on the page to a description of what of maybe a few key bullets or a few key issues relating to the privacy issues, or just a separate section on the privacy issues. So you agree to our terms of service and also to these issues related to putting your information in WHOIS or something like that. Does that sound more feasible, Paul?
I like to, or cap letters in the registration agreement, but also I see who said it, but the point about, hey, you don't have to, if it's in the WHOIS output, they don't look at that before they make a registration. I agree with that. But also, if you really want them to understand it and to get kind of the word out, why, we could do both. We could put in the registration agreement all these capital letters in, bold print. But also, we could have in the WHOIS output, hey, if you ever do register a name in the future, remember, you're agreeing to this. This guy agreed to it, and you will be agreeing to it, too, if you register a name in the future.
Thomas here. Can I get another cue, please?
Yeah, Thomas, anyone else? Okay, Thomas, go ahead.
Several points. First of all, to Paul's argument that it's pointless to have several checkboxes, there's also situations in real law, in real life, where you have to sign a single contract in different places and where you have to put specific signatures to specific parts of the contract to make it effective. So there is precedent to that, and I think it could be reasonable and actually in some legislatures even required to have a separate agreement to anything that concerns publication of data, privacy stuff. I do recall that there have been that there is some precedent in Europe that just having this in general terms and conditions is not sufficient. That has to be very prominent. It has to be conspicuous. It has to be signed specifically. Stuff like that. So I would certainly favor to have a separate clause from the registrar about having been notified. And that also gets me to the suggestion that Jordan made to have some kind of a link. We all know how precisely people follow links from agreements. When you have a 10-page agreement and you have a link, you just say, I read it without ever following the link. So what I think would be reasonable to make it conspicuous and to require separate acknowledgement of that particular part of the information. What I would also suggest is put in place some success metric for the policy we are going to do. One possible success metric could be to ask to a random sample of registrants some questions about their data and what they know will happen to their data before the policy becomes effective, and to then ask a random sample of registrants a year after the policy has become effective, of new registrants in that case. If there is a significant change, statistically significant change in the number of registrants who know what happens to the data, the policy was a success. If not, it has just failed. Finally, with respect to Paul's suggestion of putting the notice into the WHOIS output, I'd rather do it the other way around. I'd rather have a sample of the WHOIS output in the notice, as in, following information will be public. WHOIS output. And then a checkbox, something like that. I'd rather give people a chance to see what WHOIS output actually means. Don't just describe the data output, give them the output. How about that? Thanks.
That's interesting. Can I ask a question about the link? I didn't quite catch. You're not for the link?
I'm not for putting things onto. I'm not for having a link, say, to a pop-up window that just shows that you can, open up, read, or can just ignore.
I follow it. You're more into having it embedded in whatever it is.
Yes. Have it as a step that you can't skip. I mean, how many of these, here's one set of terms and conditions and here's another set of terms and conditions. How many of these links do you follow when you encounter them?
Okay, any other thoughts or comments on this?
It was a link, just a thought. I see Thomas's point. But if it was a link, the link could be to something at ICANN so that it's all standard for everybody.
So ICANN maintains material in all languages in which registrars are doing business?
Why not? At least it's the same.
We don't even have that in the transfers policy. Even there's quite a bit of leeway for registrars to have their own forms. And besides that, you can always, if you want to go down to that level of detail, you can always say you have to put in that text for a true translation of it.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't see the benefit of putting it into a separate link.
Okay. I'm not sure. At some point, Thomas, that you can't force people to read things, and you'll never be able to do that. But you're just saying that rather than having the text there, a link, people just won't click on it.
Yeah.
Could you still have to verify that you clicked on it as correct sentence?
Well, if it's offline, you can verify it. My point is, let me put it differently. What I am against is something like you have a website, you click through several pages, like give this information, next, agree to these on these points, next, agree to these on these points, next. And then you have some link somewhere which says here's terms and conditions, and you certify you read them. I'd rather have it displayed to them in the first place on the same page. That's my point. I wouldn't consider a link somewhere conspicuous notice because it makes it just too damn easy not to read it.
So what you're
I want a lazy person to have it on the screen.
Okay, what you're saying is that a link is not sufficient.
It won't work.
I mean, not to take us back a couple steps, but, I mean, would it help to get, you know, and it kind of draws in Marilyn's email, would it help to figure out certain maybe legal experts that could help us identify what conspicuous notice means and how it's interpreted?
This is David Maher. I don't think we need legal experts. I think Jeff's quote of the UCC gives a very good idea of what conspicuous means in U.S. law, and it's not too difficult to find some European lawyer and probably a lawyer from Japan, but we certainly don't need paid experts to do briefs on what conspicuous means.
No, I didn't, not that part of Marilyn's email as far as paying people, but that's what I mean. Seek input from other sources as to what conspicuous means from other countries. I mean, I'd be very...
Please note that your conference will expire in 10 minutes.
Uh-oh. Yeah. When?
this is Steve. Could I respond to Jeff?
Yeah, sure.
I don't really think it's a legal issue. I think it's more a behavioral issue, as Thomas said, although I don't know it's practical to survey people. But, again, Task Force 2 didn't use the word conspicuous, and I don't think just as we're not in the business of defining what's consent here, we're also not in the business of defining what's conspicuous. But I think we just want to find some ways to better inform people and to get their agreement to what the policy is. I mean, I think we've had a number of good suggestions here, and I guess one issue we would also need to address is people referring to methods other than web-based methods for registering, and how would this policy be applied in those contexts? Besides, I don't know exactly what those are besides telephone, but maybe there are other ways to.
One of the reasons I brought up legal expert is because, and it's kind of to address Thomas's comment. You know, at some point, you really can't force people to read these agreements, and yet you shouldn't also force registrars to do something that, you know, to go out of their way to an extreme to force someone to read the policy. At some point, it's accepted in every country, it's accepted that you've done your job. You know, you've done your job is to notify them. And the reason legal experts could help is that it would tell you in different countries what it means to have done your job. Because you really can't force, you know, as great as it would, and I understand Thomas's point about links, and I kind of agree because I think in a bunch of case laws, at least in the U.S., it says that providing a link is not, and then getting them to accept that it doesn't really constitute agreement in a lot of cases. But again, I don't want to go too far off the deep end to require something that's not necessarily a commercially reasonable practice. So the reason I again had kind of suggested legal advice is because the law attempts to balance what is reasonable versus you know, what would actually get notice to the consumer.
This is David again. I think you're being overly legalistic. And speaking as a lawyer, we're talking about a practical registry of names and locations. And we're not trying to make law. We do the whole compliance with national law is a separate issue. But I really think that a definition of conspicuous should just be a practical approach to it, taking into account what we all know from whatever language we use is a reasonable interpretation of conspicuous. That's good enough. And getting into the legalistic aspects of this, I think, is a mistake.
I think I agree with Stephen. I guess Steve Metallix. The objective is to get them to agree and to inform them. From my point of view, if you want to inform everyone, you put it in the who is output. That takes care of informing. If you want them to agree, it obviously has to be before they make a registration, and they're agreeing to the registration agreement. So why wouldn't it just be in there in bold? I can't get my mind off of that. So that covers both objectives, inform and agree.
Yeah, just to jump in on the issue of experts, I'm sort of in agreement with David and Steve that I think that this is not really a legal issue. I mean, it's good to sort of see world experience, I suppose, as to what, you know, in the past, what has sort of satisfied people that consent was actually taking place. So to that extent, it may be useful, but it might almost be more useful to bring in, like, usability experts to, you know, give us a way to present the information in a way that's going to be meaningful and useful to the user as much as legal experts. And my guess is that if we as a group come up with something that we're all satisfied is going to, you know, make sure people are fairly aware of the issue, that it's likely to be a reasonably good solution. And to the extent that we're not...
Please note that your conference will expire in 5 minutes.
Then we're not trying to obtain, you know, we're not really trying to make law here. As David points out, it may not be that relevant that we aren't doing it in a way that, strictly speaking, you know, satisfies the definition of conspicuous or whatever.
Yeah, registration agreement more conspicuous and then put it in there. Then it's at least we have one thing instead of a registration agreement that's not so conspicuous and a separate thing that's more conspicuous.
I think we should quickly plan on if this call ends. Jordan, you want to go into next steps? Or, I mean, we're going to continue this conversation offline. I think we'll summarize different options, and I think people should just weigh in on their thoughts. And then, you know, Jordan, if you can go in a little bit more on usability experts. And one of the reasons, again, I had suggested a legal expert, especially in the EU, is because it is a legal requirement to have clear and conspicuous notice of any anything involving data transmission of data from one party to another. And you need clear the words in that EU privacy legislation is, quote, clear and conspicuous. So I thought it might help for an interpretation of that.
Can somebody also post the exact language that you're proposing? You know, what is the text of what should be conspicuous?
Yeah, well, I think that's another thing we ought to probably work on the list. I mean, there's so many people not on this call that we probably don't want to work that here. But I think that Jeff's right. We probably, you know, in terms of next steps on this topic, we have a few ideas that we'll summarize on the we'll summarize in a mailing. But you know, I would encourage people to have further discussion about the various options that they support or don't support and the reasons why, and maybe we can find one or two that people settle on and refine it further.
And, Greg, can we work on for the next call, maybe doing a two-hour call, or at least getting the time reserved for 2 hours?
Okay, I'll do that, yes. This one was an hour, so I'll do that for 2 hours next time.
Yeah, we'll do that. Sorry this has to be cut short, but I think it's helpful. But I do think, you know, I want to be sensitive to Mark Schneider and Milton's comments on, you know, really using the list.
Muting canceled.
Vehicle to express ideas anyway. So with that being said, before we get cut off, is there anything anybody wants to say for last minute?
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks everyone, and thank you. Sorry for the abrupt ending.
Sorry, guys.